king of at Cameron Artist Pain. That's what you may feel like today if you started the Panthers running back from last night. And welcome to the Old School Fantasy Hour here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, FNTSY, the premier free fantasy football destination for your radio listening pleasure. I am Scott the King Engel, and as always, the guy who's very excited this time of year because we're in the throes of fantasy football season, and the fantasy hockey season opens up tomorrow. Officially, it is George Blue Line Kurtz. George, how are you?
I'm doing well, Scott. Now, that football game last night is over, thankfully. I think that set offensive football back a few decades. The baseball game that would not end finally ended around, 2:30 a.m. Eastern time. So, happy day. It's Tuesday at noon.
Yes, it certainly is. And we got a lot to talk about today, including a very interesting interview that we're going to play in the second segment, which for a long time Emmy Award-winning Islanders broadcaster Howie Rose on the formation and his memories of the first fantasy hockey league ever in the early 1980s in the Madison Square Garden press room.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm looking forward to hearing that interview. My home league has been going on since the early 90s.
Early 90s. So you're about 10 years after it started.
Not too bad. No, not too bad. I'll take that.
Yeah. Well, you just told me since the early 1990s, but how many leagues are you actually in this year?
That only two right now. I might join a third. There's a draft going on tomorrow that I might play in if I don't have to ref that night. Hockey's not like baseball. It's not like football where I'll get invited to 40 leagues and only play in 10. There just aren't that many around.
If you got a fantasy football or hockey question, 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-84-FNTSY is the number. Jameis Winston last night, 18 of 30, 219 yards, one touchdown. Hey, he didn't throw an interception. He had eight coming into the game, so it wasn't all bad for him. But he had a fumble. He didn't lose it. But you know, Jameis Winston is not progressing like some people have thought. I actually predicted a pretty good season for him. There was a lot of talk about how he's a good locker room guy and had a high football IQ, high work ethic, but he's only 22 years old, and it seems like the game has not slowed down for him yet.
Yeah, but I don't want to be all that negative on him. Fantasy-wise, we weren't starting him last night anyway, probably.
Some people were because of bye weeks.
Yeah, you might have been, but I mean, as a full-time starter, he's more of a streamer, a good number two right now, not someone I'm putting in my lineup week in and week out.
Is he a good
number
two?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Nine touchdowns, eight interceptions?
Well, I didn't say he's a great number two.
Is he even a good one?
He's been okay. He's been terrible. What are you going to take over him? I'm not going to take Tannehill over him.
Okay.
You know, Mariota's been terrible except for 1 week. The reason why these guys are number two is Cutler's done.
Okay.
So I think as a number two, I could live with him start here. I mean, really, as a number two, you're hoping you only start him once.
All right, so I'm getting ready my Exclusive Edge in-season fantasy football rankings, part of your Exclusive Edge package on rotoexperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for a special discount. And I have him ranked 26th at quarterback.
26th?
Yeah.
From this point on?
Yes.
So you only have six quarterbacks worked left.
Yeah.
That are worse than him. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at it. Okay, Cleveland. I imagine whoever's starting at Cleveland's got to be worse.
I'll tell you who's behind him.
We go
32. All right, let's work from the back. Ready? 35th, Jay Cutler. 34th, Cody Kessler. 33rd, Tony Romo. 32, Josh McCown. 31, Case Keenum. Kaepernick, 30. Osweiler, 29. Bradford, 28. Tannehill, 27. Winston, 26.
No love for Bradford, huh?
There's not much fantasy upside. As an NFL quarterback, I'd have him rank higher.
There's not. So who are the guys immediately in front of him? Give me the six in front of him.
Tyrod Taylor.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Joe Flacco.
Yeah, I think, all right, same ballpark, sure.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Okay.
Alex Smith.
Yep.
Marcus Mariota.
Definitely with that schedule.
Yeah, and Eli Manning.
Yeah, you know, I can't argue with that. Really can't argue. I think he's in the same boat as a lot of these guys, but really can't argue with that, no.
No. I might have to put Flacco ahead of Fitzpatrick, though. Without Eric Decker?
Noon was okay. Marshall will pick it up. I'm worried about Fitzpatrick, too. I mean, the way the Jets are heading, I mean, would it shock you if Fitzpatrick gets replaced? If the Jets don't win Monday night in Arizona, they'll be 1-5, season be pretty much toast anyway. Fitzpatrick's on a one-year deal for all intents and purposes. You know, they could make that switch just to see what they have in Geno Smith.
You know, we talked, I just moved him down two spots. I got Flacco and Taylor ahead of him now.
But see, isn't that great about how rankings work?
I still got him ahead of Winston, though, and I'm kind of debating that.
I kind of like Winston. I would actually move Winston up a couple of slots. No. I mean, when I say like, I mean, compared to this group of people, I think there is some upsides. He has the number one in Evans.
I moved him up to 25th. How's that? I dropped Fitzpatrick down to 26th.
All right, I'm all on board now.
Yeah, I got Brian Hoyer at a shaky 19.
I think that it is what he is. I like Hoyer as long as he keeps that starting job and has the good matchups. But, you know, to relying on Hoyer, I've had some questions in the Roto Experts email answer queue. You know, do I start with Hoyer for the rest of the season? He's still a matchup guy for me. He's not someone I want to rely on week in and week out. That was Indianapolis he was playing. So let's not go overboard here. But Hoyer, we know he'll throw the ball somehow. It gives him a legitimate running game. And since that defense can't stop anybody, they're going to have to throw a bunch.
Jason Kenny on Twitter says, need help replacing Eli Manning. Can grab Palmer, Dak, or Romo. Not much else available. 6 points for a quarterback. I would cut Eli, but I would still keep him. But I would get Palmer. He's coming back from the concussion this week and has a good matchup.
Well, you have to go Palmer there because, I mean, Dallas is giving you mixed signals. I don't think they should go away from Dak, but Jerry Jones says they're all going to go to Romo. Now, that's maybe what everyone says because you don't want to upset the veteran. Oh, yeah, we're going back to him. And then week 9, no, can't do it. But I'm going to stay away from the Dallas situation. But I'm not going to throw them out Palmer either. I agree with you. I'll keep Eli. I'll put Palmer on the roster. But neither one's playing well. Palmer was playing. Was pretty terrible before he got hurt. You know, Eli's been pretty terrible all season long. So it's really pick your poison here. Not big on either one of them.
That's one of your favorite cliches, pick your poison, right?
No.
You
actually,
say that at least once a day.
Really?
Yeah.
Didn't even realize I was saying it.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I was trying to say cliches on purpose yesterday. I'm not doing that today.
Well, you're still getting them out.
Now I may have to do it.
Yeah. My biggest pet peeves is cliches.
I know. That's why I was doing it yesterday.
Joe Pizzapia drives me crazy on a Sunday with that.
Why? Did a cliche hurt you one day?
What are you eating while you're on the air?
I was having a piece of ice. I had a little little problem in my throat here, so I needed to get that down.
Oh, okay. I was about to go off on you. I said, Mike Florio's not allowed to eat during the show. What are you doing?
No, it was either that or cough, and I didn't want to cough.
All right. Well, sometimes you got to cough, you know?
You do. We need a cough button. Where's my cough button?
I don't know. Ask Mike Cardano.
All right. I'll get right on that.
Yes. Jacquizz Rodgers. 5'6", 196. I found out he was 196. He must have lost 10 pounds before game time because, you know, I've seen him listed at 206. 30 carries for 101 yards. Ran well early, but, you know, kind of wore down towards the end of the game. Also caught 5 passes for 28 yards. They're expecting Doug Martin after the bye. I can't imagine this guy would be more than a complimentary piece. I remember a few years ago when Ryan Matthews and some other running backs got hurt for the Chargers. Darren Sproles went well for one game, but when they tried it for longer than a game and a half, he was really worn out. So I can't see a lot of value in picking up Rodgers on free agency.
Well, let me ask you this. First, I thought they were trying to kill Rodgers last night, giving him all those touches.
He was taking big hits, yeah.
Oh, my God. I thought, did they want to punish this guy? You know, whenever I see that, Scott, I automatically think, well, they don't care about this guy for the rest of the season. They just want him for this game. Sort of like the Jets were doing at Matt Forte. They weren't worried about him long-term career because he's 30 years old, may not be with the team next year, so we're going to beat him up now. Going to use him as early and often as possible. That was my first thought there. My second thought was, you know, you can really take advantage of Carolina in the passing game, yet they went run heavy. I mean, that game plan was surprising to me. I thought maybe they would have come out throwing the ball all over the place, take advantage of a weak Carolina secondary. But Rodgers looked good. He did look good. He's small, though, and if they keep doing this, they're going to get him killed. I know they have a bye week next week, but I read it the same way you do. is a nice, I think it'll be a little change of pace. Sims was put on IR, so I think he will get maybe a series here, a series there, maybe two series to play in the game. So six touches I could see from here on out. That might be sort of useful still in bye weeks, especially in PPR leagues, but not someone I'm dying to go out and grab now. If you got him for yesterday's game, great. I think he got 17 points. Congratulations. But after that, his value has now plummeted.
All right. Mike Evans, six catches for 89 yards and a touchdown. Pretty much what you expect.
Yeah, I think you and I, we were playing the game yesterday. I think we both had him in the low 20s. I think I had 21, so he ended up with 6'8", so he had 20. I'll take that run. That's about what you expect from him. He's going to get most of the targets. They found him on the deep play where he was wide open, touchdown there. And they were, I think he never dropped a pass or two as well. Be nice if he didn't have hands of brick.
I got a sob story to share. You know, I prayed to the fantasy gods last night.
I saw.
Yeah, Matt Berry, Lou Mayone, Nando DeFino, and Rick Wolf, and they didn't answer my prayers. In fact, Lou told me, you know, unless it's daily fantasy and there's heavy money involved, you know, he doesn't care. So, you know, thanks a lot. You know, it's I don't have faith in Lou anymore as a fantasy deity. So, you know, that's gone. All I needed was Cameron Brate caught one pass for 38 yards, right? So that put me down 2 points, 1 point in a PPR league, 130 to 129. So he had one for 38. And all I needed was like a 3-yard reception to win, because putting him at 40 yards would have gave him 4 points instead of three, and then I would have got the other catch. And all I wanted with 7 minutes left was another catch from Cameron Brate. Jameis Winston throws it a little too high for Cameron Brate, and it bounces off his hands, and I lose by 1 point.
You know, when I saw you post that on Twitter, I didn't know, you know, sometimes I don't know if you're posting it right away on Twitter or if it was a couple of minutes off, but the first thing I wanted to send you a song from Wang Chung called Start Praying to a New God, because I didn't think you won.
No. It reminded me of the old Conan movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger where he prays to Karam, and, you know, he says Karam doesn't answer him, and he says, to hell with you. I'll do it myself.
Isn't that also a major league?
Oh, Joe Boo. Yeah, to hell with you, Joe Boo. I'll do it myself, yeah.
I think he uses slightly different terms than to hell with you, but I think a little bit more vulgar.
I think he said to hell with you.
Nah, I'm pretty sure
maybe
it's
Conan
the F-bomb.
Said to hell with you.
I think Conan might have said hell. I think Dennis Haysbert, you know, the president from 24, said F you.
Okay. Vincent Jackson, three catches for 36 yards. He shouldn't even be rostered right now. I was expecting more from Adam Humphries as the slot guy, especially with the state of Carolina's pass defense, but he just had one catch for 11 yards.
Yeah, I think he was probably my most disappointing player from the Tampa Bay side last night was Humphries. I expected a half dozen catches, 5-6, you know, for 50, 60 yards. I didn't think he'd get the end zone, but I thought PPR, like he'd reach double-digit points for you. But like I said, Tampa Bay came out running the ball, not throwing the ball, so that sort of brought everybody down.
Yeah. And over on the Carolina side, Derek Anderson was pretty much the journeyman quarterback that we expected. No touchdowns, two interceptions. Cameron Artis Payne didn't run well early, but started picking it up in the second half. 18 carries for 85 and two yards and two touchdowns. It was an inspiring performance. I didn't expect much from him. I was actually a little surprised.
The two touchdowns surprised me. I think I said one yesterday. I did think he'd get to the end zone, but he looked, as you said, he got better as the game went along, which is not surprising for running backs. You wear down with defense. Things opened up for him. So it was a solid performance, but also maybe his last, as Jonathan Stewart should be back next week.
Greg Olsen, I predicted a big game from him. Yesterday,
you did.
Didn't I? I said something like 11 catches for about, you know, 100 and something yards. Had a touchdown.
I think you had him at 27 points, if I remember correctly.
Nine
yesterday.
Catches for 181 yards as Tampa Bay ignored covering the tight end pretty much. Or just couldn't cover him. Great rapport with Derek Anderson. Kelvin Benjamin, a lot of it in the first half. Five catches for 70 yards. Devin Funchess was shut out. He did not catch a pass. I guess we can forget about Devin Funchess.
That disappointing, Scott. So disappointing. I thought Funchess was going to have a breakout season. you know, with Olsen there, with Kelvin Benjamin back, an okay running game. I thought Funches would break out. He was good last year. Not great, but good last year with Benjamin out. But it just seems that, you know, it's Benjamin or bust there. And if it's not Benjamin, it's certainly Olsen. And no one else is getting any looks. I don't want to say you can drop Funches, but you can drop him.
All right. 844-844-FNTSY. That's 844-844-FNTSY. With all your fantasy football questions as well, and Roberto Aguayo, you know, just talking a little bit about kickers, I put him up all of my fantasy teams in the preseason, even after he missed a few field goals, because I feel like a team trades up to get a kicker, you know, that this guy's going to be really good and you can count on him, and he missed two field goals last night, even though he ended up the hero.
He's awful, right about the – I mean, come on. If they hadn't traded up – would they trade two draft picks to move up to the second round to get – oh, my God, crazy. But if they hadn't made that deal, he wouldn't even be on the team. He'd be gone. He's been awful. He's awful in training camp. He's been awful this season. Yeah, he had the game-winning kick last night, but this is after he missed he's just awful. Awful.
Yeah, he was – you can count on Graham Gano, though. Well, Fozzie, James Stewart, Jonathan Stewart might come back next week, but it looks like you should continue to stash Cameron Artis Payne if you can.
Sure. I don't see Stewart as somebody who's a bona fide number one going to get all the touches. I think Payne will play more than just what your average handcuff would be. So I don't mind rostering Payne, especially in this day, you know, running backs, desperate. Anybody who plays has value. We still have buys, although only two teams on bye this week, which I find strange. But, yeah, I have no problem rostering Cameron Artis Payne.
All right, coming up next, we talk some fantasy hockey. My interview with longtime Islanders broadcaster Howie Rose on the first ever Fantasy Hockey League started at Madison Square Garden. All right, we are back on the Old School Fantasy Hour. Scott Engel and George Kurtz as we talk some fantasy hockey here. And I know you're going to enjoy this one, George. A little fantasy hockey history there coming up with longtime Islanders announcer Howie Rose, an Emmy Award winner, also broadcast for the Rangers. And Howie was part of the first ever known fantasy hockey league in the early 1980s that started in the press room at Madison Square Garden. And here is my interview with Howie Rose. Scott Engel of the Fantasy Sports Network here with longtime Islanders and Mets broadcaster Howie Rose. And Howie, you were in the first ever fantasy hockey league in 1981. I heard it was called, through NHL.com, the Off-Ice Hockey League. Well, what are your memories of that?
Well, I remember one of the brains behind the operation was Neil Smith, who at that time was a scout for the Islanders, and some of us in the New York hockey community were just getting to know. And he took it very seriously. He even had golf shirts made up with a crest that resembled the NHL crest, but it said OIHL. So I'd be hard-pressed to remember exactly how many participants there were. I'm going to say it was six or eight, somewhere in that neighborhood, at least the original bunch, most of whom I've totally lost touch of and track of over the years. But we had a draft. You know, we got together one night late in the summer every year, and we drafted X number of players to fill out a roster. I don't remember how many it was, maybe 15 or something like that. And it was all based on goal scoring, and we made trades, and we got ticked off at each other, and somebody might have thought that one or another fleeced him in a trade, but I guess that's the way it is in real sports, too. So we had a lot of fun with it.
You might be part of history, Howie, having played in the first ever fantasy hockey league.
Is this legal, by the way? Am I going to get in trouble for divulging this? It was before fantasy sports as such existed. But, you know, we all had something to do with hockey on however peripheral a level it might seem. You know, we had a guy named John Gentile who ran the press room at Madison Square Garden. He was the bartender there, but he was close to a lot of us for a number of years, and he was a participant, and I was working in those days for WHN Radio, covering games. So I was in all the hockey press boxes, well, both of them at that time, the Rangers and the Islanders at the Garden and at the Coliseum. And Neil, of course, was a scout. And there were others of us who worked in some facet of the broadcast community or sports coverage community. And we had a lot of fun with it.
So I heard you guys used to keep score, because there was no internet, obviously, in 1981, by basically writing things off the ticker in the press room.
Yeah. In fact, I'm trying to remember who it was who sent us the updated standings every week. You know, obviously, you kept track of how your own guys were doing. Might have been a guy named John Tataro. And John, at one point, worked in PR for the Rangers. I don't remember if it was as an intern or if he actually was on their staff. But anyway, he was very involved in it. And I hope I pronounced his last name right. It's been so long. There was a guy named Jack Fehr, F-E-H-R, who I think ran the scoreboard at the Garden. And I'm trying to remember which of those two, and maybe it was somebody else too, who actually sent out the updated standings week by week. But we know how our guys were doing, and we were as well educated, I suppose, as we could be when it came to making trades. But would have helped if the internet was around, that's for sure.
I heard the draft was actually held in the press room while there was a WWF match going on.
That's possible. I don't remember if I was involved in that one. I know we've met at restaurants, and that was a dangerous thing, you know, because, you know, we're putting money into this thing, and if you're drafting while you're having a beer or a glass of wine or some other adult beverage, you know, you might have been putting yourself in some professional peril. But I know that we had a lot of fun whenever we got together for the draft.
So what's your opinion on fantasy sports overall? It's become so big, and I'm sure in your role broadcasting for the Mets, you know, people like probably trying to, you know, get some fantasy baseball advice off of you here and there.
I'd be the last guy to be equipped to give it. I don't really spend any time watching fantasy sports per se to see how any particular person might be doing in his or her football pool or fantasy team. I'm just too far removed from it now after all these years. But my buddies and I, you know, guys who are lifelong friends, we've had our own kind of private football pool that dates back to really the OIHL in the early 1980s, where we've each selected four teams every year, and it's there's a formula to it, and it's too complicated and too boring to really get into right now, but it's largely based on offense and points scored, and we have a lot of fun with it, and every year there's a winner, and some years we allow for last place money. I've never believed in rewarding stupidity, but I might have made a few extra bucks off of it had I actually said, yeah, last place money is a good idea. So I guess everybody to some extent likes to be involved on some level with fantasy sports. And if nobody gets hurt, if it's all done within anyone's individual financial means, and it keeps you close to whatever game it is that you're playing, then it's fun. It's all good.
How long did you play fantasy hockey for?
I'm going to say I was involved for 3 to 5 years. I can't tell you exactly when. I'm going to guess that when I was at WFAN, when we started WFAN, which was the summer of 1987, I can basically guarantee you I did not have an OIHL team in 87, 88. I just didn't have any time. You know, once we got to where I was doing what I was doing on WFAN between the Mets and the talk show and later on the Rangers, I guess I just sort of dropped out. But I would say I was involved in it for about 3 or 4 years in the early 80s.
So do you look back on it now as a fond experience, and why?
Oh, sure. You know, anytime you get a bunch of friends together, it's great. I was single in those days, so I didn't have to sort of check with my wife to see what was on the schedule on any given night and if she'd mind if I got away for a few hours. It was all along the lines of entertainment on a number of different levels. But anytime you get to go out with your friends and have dinner and kind of toss a few different things around, whatever they might be. And in this case, if it meant drafting hockey players for a fantasy pool, then you're having a good night. So I had a lot of good nights with the OIHL.
Howie, thanks a lot.
My pleasure, Scott.
All right, so the OIHL, the Off-Ice Hockey League, and if you put that together, off-ice, it's the Office Hockey League. Howie Rose, unwittingly one of the fathers of fantasy hockey, George.
That was awesome. That was actually a very good interview. I liked what Howie said at the end, you know, about fantasy. As long as you're getting together with your friends, what's wrong with that? And I think there's nothing more I can say to that because, you know, when I have my home draft, Scott, I love those home drafts, to be out with your friends, family, office space, whatever it is. You get together, you're having a draft. That's, to me, my home leagues are always the most fun. There's nothing to add. I found that very interesting.
Yeah, it's Howie and Neil Smith actually involved in a league. You know, I actually found out about this league by an old NHL.com story. And to think that for a fantasy hockey player like yourself, that the press room at Madison Square Garden, which I believe no longer exists, you know, they've since updated it. You know, that's like a holy place for a fantasy hockey player like you now.
Yeah, that's got to be a pretty cool place to have a draft there up in the garden. And you're right, it probably doesn't exist anymore. They've remodeled the garden so many times.
Yeah, and it was interesting. They did it just on goal scoring. You know, we hear some of the early fantasy football leagues were just based on touchdowns.
Yeah, fantasy hockey is unlike baseball. It's unlike football. With football, we have standard leagues. You know what a standard league. I say it, you know what it means. Baseball, I say 5x5, we know what it means. Hockey, there really is no standard. People go, have so many. Hockey is made for custom leagues. You know, there is no 5x5. People have different categories there. That's why it's very difficult to give rankings out for one league because everything, buddy, is just so different.
Yeah, and it took us back to the pen and pad era of fantasy sports. They were actually keeping score off a ticker.
Well, didn't we all do that? I mean, you and I are about the same age. We've been playing forever. I remember, you know, in the afternoon, you'd have to go get the late paper. You'd get the morning paper probably delivered to your house. You check out the scores. But living on the East Coast, we didn't get the Dodger games or the Giant games. You know, so you had to go there. Back in the, you know, one of the great programs that I always enjoyed was NFL Primetime because you got to see all the scores on Sunday nights. Remember that 10-minute ticker that they'd have during the games? We'd lived for that. You're waiting for your out-of-town scores. We couldn't wait for that 10-minute ticker to come on.
Now, according to history, the documented history, this 1981 league was actually formed by the son of Islanders coach Al Arbor, Jay Arbor, and at the time, Neil Smith was a scout and also included Sam Rosen.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. I know who Neil Smith is. He actually was working again for the Islanders a couple of years back when under Wong, when that blew up. He now, I believe he works for the NHL Network, as I do see him on there quite often. Jay Arbor, Sam Rosen, that's pretty interesting.
Now, according to other history, the longest documented hockey league that is still running was formed in 1980 by some students from Handsworth Secondary School in North Vancouver, Canada. The Handsworth Alumni Hockey Pool, now in 37 years of existence, with only one inactive season during 2004 and 2005.
Why? I want to know why it was inactive in 4 or 5.
I don't know. Maybe people had things to do. I don't know.
Yeah, we all know how difficult it can be to get a draft together sometimes. I know as a commissioner of a couple of leagues, setting up draft day is one of the hardest things I'll do all year long.
All right. If you have any other interesting fantasy hockey or fantasy history questions or comments, it's 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-84-FNTSY. We also take take all your football questions, waivers, trades, etc. And if you want to hear more from George, and if you want to get more questions answered from him tonight, the Exclusive Edge in-season fantasy football live chat at 9 p.m. Eastern tonight, part of your Exclusive Edge in-season fantasy football package on rotoexperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for a special discount. And let's go to our friend Bob from Long Island. Bob, how you doing today?
Scott, how are you doing today? How you doing, George? What's going on?
What's up?
What's up, Bob?
I tell you, you know, you talk about old hockey, you know, when the Rangers won the
interview?
Cup.
Did you enjoy that interview, Bob?
I loved it. That was great. I loved it. It was great. But it's a funny story. Me and my wife were going up to Toronto to see her mother-in-law, and we run into Neil Smith the year they won the cup. And he signed, my wife had a Ranger jersey on, and he signed the Ranger jersey on her at the airport. So it was cool. He was going to Toronto also that day. So,
are you playing fantasy hockey?
I played fantasy hockey a couple of years. You know, I got out of touch with the name of the players and their abilities, so I didn't. So it really wasn't a good thing for me, you know. It's just a tough thing to keep up with, that's all, you know.
Yeah, what's the longest league that you've played in any fantasy sport?
Well, this is my 37th year in football, in our fantasy football league, yeah, this year, so.
And
I've been through the newspaper drill, George, you know.
Yes, I remember.
So how did you guys get together, and has the scoring stayed the same, and you know, what's some history on the league, and you know, well, with the scoring, has it evolved, or are you guys still doing it like you did in the beginning?
Well, of course, yeah, the scoring has evolved, but you know what, I'll tell you what, we started out as a standard league, as most, I would say most fantasy leagues had started out as a standard scoring league, and actually we just went to a yardage league 5 years ago, so it took us 32 years to change our scoring. So, and of course, with the computers, it helps so much. It just automatically takes care of all your little decimals and your little tenths of a point and everything, so it's no problem. But years ago, when you had to do it out of the newspaper, the standard league was basically the only way you could go, because it was very tough to keep up with the box scores and everything else, with the yardage and stuff like that, you know.
So how did you guys get together?
We met at a bar every year. That we had a live draft every year, you know, and it was the best thing. Then we started meeting at an Italian restaurant for about 10 years. We met there and had dinner, and we all sat at this long table, had drink red wine, and, you know, it was a good thing, you know. There was 1 year, Scott, I got to tell you, and I was the commissioner, of course, and you had to keep the names on the piece of paper, everybody drafted. And I spilled the whole glass of red wine over the whole page and everything, so it was quite an, you know, experience.
All right, Bob, thanks for the call.
Okay, hey, listen, I got one more thing, yeah. Scott, if you don't mind.
Yeah, sure.
You know, this week in fantasy, and I hate to get into this position, when you get players that are so closely talented with each other, and you outthink yourself. Well, I did this week. 5 minutes before the lineups had to be due in, I took out Coates and put in Wallace. So there you go.
There you go.
You know?
Yeah. Goes like my Cameron.
All right, gentlemen, have a great day.
It's not worse than my Cameron Brait story, George.
I think I always feel bad for the guy, though. You know, you have a great week. You score second most points in your league, but you're playing the guy or the girl who had the most points that week. That always drives me insane.
All right, 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-84-FNTSY. We want to hear your comments. You know, if you've been in a league for a very long time. I remember my first fantasy football league was in 1994. It was actually an IDP league, and I won the championship in my first year. But, you know, I was playing Strat-O-Matic longer than that. And, you know, I don't know if you remember All-Star Baseball with the spinners. I was playing that when I was a little kid. Those qualified fantasy games. You had cards of every player.
Sure, absolutely they would qualify as fantasy games. But, yes, I remember those. I remember playing seasons using dice. Yeah, you wouldn't use players. You'd use more teams. And, you know, one team would play the other. You'd have seasons going on and playing that way. There was so many things we used to do. We didn't realize that it was starting something.
Yeah, it certainly was. I believe games like Strat-O-Matic and APBA was certainly like forerunners of fantasy sports, George.
Absolutely. I would 100% agree with you there.
I'm not sure we need to even give a description of this show, but it's awesome. Alex Bursch sits down with a new guest every week and talks career paths, milestones, and, of course, baseball cards. It's a collector's dream, and if you're listening to this network, you probably/definitely have a card collection somewhere. If you're up early and want to reminisce, John Alex Bursch, Saturday mornings at 6 a.m. Eastern or Sundays at 1:30 p.m. Eastern for Tops Talk on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. On demand at fntsy.com/radio or available for download on iTunes. You can also check out all the shows at audioboom.com for download as well. We'll get back to the fantasy football talks next as we hit the free agent wire with Cha-Cha.